Kira Damarang, hello and welcome to Speak My Language Disability, as we share stories of First Nations peoples who are engaging in their passions while also living with a disability. Throughout this series, you'll hear inspiring stories from leaders and advocates within the community who have successfully pursued their dreams in their chosen fields. In this episode, Kerry Lee Harding yarns with Samantha Schmid. Samantha, a proud Waka Waka and Gubbi Gubbi woman from Queensland, is an inspiring force in Australian para sport. As the national record holder in women's F38 discus, shot put and javelin, Samantha has recently returned from representing Australia in the discus throw at the Paris Paralympics. Her incredible journey in athletics is a testament to the transformative power of sport, bringing strength, resilience and pride to her life.
Samantha, thanks for joining us. It's lovely to have you with us today. Can you just tell us who you are, introduce yourself, and who your mob is and where you're from?
I am Samantha Schmidt. I am an F38 discus thrower here in Australia. I am part of the Waka Waka Gubbi Gubbi tribes. I'm based in Bundaberg.
Let's talk about athletics. How did you first become involved, Samantha?
I got involved by my dad taking my older sister out to athletics when she was younger. Because of my CP, I wasn't able to do all the other sports, along with some other medical issues. So dad said, hey, why not throw a discus or a shot put? And so the first thing I ever threw was a discus. I did it and it was amazing. And it was just something that I absolutely enjoyed. And then as I grew up, it just became more and more part of my life.
Sounds really deadly. Thanks so much, Jess. What is it that you love most about participating in your chosen sports? You do discus, shot put and javelin. So what do you love most about your chosen sports?
I think I like that they come so naturally to me, whether it's my Aboriginal heritage or just growing up seeing my siblings doing it. But it feels really natural, especially throwing the discus and the javelin. Being able to go out there and present my people and do something that I love personally, it's amazing and I just absolutely love it.
That's really beautiful. Thanks so much, sis. How do you think sport has impacted your own life for the better?
That one's always a tough question to answer because it's impacted my life on so many different levels. Fortunately, you go through life, ups and downs, and growing up, I always had hurdles that I had to jump over. Pun intended. it's impacted my life a lot. You know, I've met some pretty amazing people, athletes, staff members, committee members. I have this whole support system behind me, you know, and I know that they're there. So it's impacted my life amazingly. It's definitely made me stronger on certain aspects because you do get hit with the not so nice stuff, but we try and not dwell on those. You know, my life has always been a challenge. And unfortunately, people have called the, you know, other things disability, other really nasty things, but I call it a challenge because every day I've got to get out of bed and that is a challenge for me with my CP. So I've got to get out of bed. I've got to do all these things. And if I see them as challenges, it helps me get them done and helps me do the things that I need to do.
And for those people who may not know, you talked about CP. What is CP, sis?
CP stands for cerebral palsy. I believe I am right hemiplegia. So my CP affects my right side of my body more than anything.
Thank you so much, sis. We'll go to our next question now, which is a really big one for you. You've recently returned from actually competing in the 2024 Paris Paralympic Games. I want to know everything about this and hear about your time in Paris and maybe how good the pastries were. But what was the whole experience like for you? Tell us all about it.
It was amazing. Me personally, I went to the Tokyo Paralympics, through the whole coronavirus pandemic. We didn't have a crowd. The only crowd we did have were staff members and other athletes. And we weren't even allowed to go and see other sports like we were this time. So it was a completely different environment, you know. Over, I think they said there was like 70,000 people in the stand the night that I competed. And it was loud and people had their little drums and all the young kids, and it was just amazing to be a part of. The pastries were really good, but I couldn't eat any of them until after I competed because I knew that they would be so good. I was like, I can't mess up my training of pastries. I will have to wait.
And do tell me more about Paris, because I've never been. Yeah. What else did you experience while you were over there with your fellow athletes?
It was just, we had a lot going on. The game, the Paralympics, you know, obviously being right after the Olympics. So everyone's still on a high from that. Being over there with friends that I've competed with for many years and seeing them achieve their goals for the first time and being a part of that, it was amazing. You know, I couldn't have asked for anything. I think that was the highlight for me, seeing all my friends that I've competed with finally reach their dream and being there when they competed. And just you walk in the village and you walk five steps and it's, oh my God, I didn't even see you there. You know, you talk for a little bit and then it's like, oh, I gotta go, bye. And you walk another five steps. Oh my goodness, hi, how are you? You've got to stop every 5 seconds because you run into someone else. And everyone just wants to stop and talk, you know. But I feel very blessed to have been able to be at that games because one of the girls that I compete against and compete with from China, actually, she's retiring. That was her last games. And then a few members of the team actually have retired already from the Australian team that I've competed with for a couple of years. So it's sad to see them go, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next.
Thank you so much, Samantha. Now let's talk about your training. You must have a pretty serious training schedule, I imagine. Tell me about your training and how you go about it and what it actually looks like for you.
Okay, so yeah, it is pretty full on. At the moment, we're kind of taking a big step back because when I was in Paris, I was in my fifth round throw and I had a fall and I landed on my shoulder and dislocated it. I'm okay now. It's a little sore still because I keep popping in and out with the moving, but it's a work in progress. But on a normal day, I do gym twice a week. I throw three times a week and then I do like stamina training the rest of the days. So it's pretty full on, but it's not as full on as it could be.
I'm getting tired just hearing you describe your training to me, sis.
Yeah, many people say that. And my response is like, yeah, if you're tired listening to it, anything, I feel doing it.
Bless. All right, we'll go to our next question now. I think I'm up to my final question. Do you have any suggestions, maybe, of any organisations which may be able to assist people if they're really keen to learn more and get involved in para sports, sis? How do people go about it?
If anyone is interested, I'm more than willing to, like, if there anyone wants to reach out and ask me or wants to talk to me about it, that's fine. I'm all more than welcome. But the thing is a lot of people feel pressured into these situations when they're young, and when they grow up, they fall out of it because it's too much pressure growing up. And I've seen it happen a few times to really good friends of mine, you know. So I think the main thing is just making sure that the next generation, the young generation coming into it, they have the support from family, from friends, from the club that they compete in. But yeah, I think the main thing for young people or anyone that's getting involved in sports, make sure you have the support behind you, your family, your friends, you know, anyone you care about and that cares about you. Having that support behind you carries you through everything. When I was away, my main thing that kept me sane was having my friends there, having my family here at home, you know. It'd be 2 a.m. and I was calling them because I needed to talk to them, you know, and they'd always answer. And, you know, having that, it helps. Just making sure that you're not scared to go out there and give it a try. If you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to do it. And I feel like a lot of young kids see other people do stuff and they do it and like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, but this person does it. I see it in my cousins all the time, you know. My younger sister would be kicking a soccer ball around and they'd go after and like, I don't want to play soccer anymore. No, if you don't want to play soccer, go play tennis or basketball or anything else. But no, definitely the support system and your family. Each sports have their own coaches, staff members, committees. Just having them there and being able to talk to them will go a mile in their careers.
Thank you so much for your time today, Samantha. You're amazing. Keep up the fabulous work with your athletics. Too deadly, girl.
Thank you.
That was Samantha Schmidt yarning with Kerry Lee Harding. Speak My Language Disability is an initiative funded by the Commonwealth Department of Social Services. It is led by the Ethnic Communities Council of New South Wales and proudly delivered in partnership with SBS. For more episodes of Speak My Language, follow the podcast on the SBS Audio app, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.